Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on something maybe you drink every single day, almost without thinking about it. Tea. We've all heard it's good for you, right? But what if I told you this ancient drink? Well, it holds wellness secrets that scientists are still only just starting to really get.
Yeah.
We're going way beyond the teabag today to, you know, unpack this fascinating journey from leaf to, well, life enhancer.
It really is a journey worth taking, I think. For this deep dive, we've sifted through articles, research, a bit of history, too, to really pull out the gold nuggets of information.
Right.
The goal, basically, is to give you a genuine shortcut. A shortcut to becoming, well, really well-informed about tea's incredible benefits, all the different types, and exactly how you can maximize its impact on your well-being.
Okay.
Get ready for some genuine aha moments, hopefully.
Shortcut to understanding and aha moments. That's a pretty bold promise for a deep dive. So, okay, let's test that. Where do we even begin to unspool this whole thing?
Well, let's start with something foundational, something that honestly often surprises people, despite the incredible variety you see out there.
Yes.
All true tea, from the lightest white to the, you know, darkest black, it fundamentally comes from just one plant.
Just one? Really?
Yep. The Camellia sinensis plant.
Yeah.
The magic, or the difference, let's say, it really happens after picking. The key distinction between all those different tea types, it lies entirely in their processing methods, how they treat the leaf.
Processing.
Exactly. And each type ends up offering unique flavors, unique aromas, and importantly, different health benefits. That's all thanks to its distinctive components that are either, you know, preserved or developed during that processing.
So it's less about different plants, more about different journeys for the same leaf. That's actually a great starting point.
Okay.
Let's dive into those journeys, maybe starting with the least processed end.
Exactly. Good place to start.
Yeah.
First up, green tea. Probably the one most people associate with health. It's renowned for being minimally processed.
Right.
What happens is the leaves are steamed or pan-fired really quickly after picking. And the whole point is to prevent oxidation.
Okay. Oxidation, like an apple turning brown.
Precisely. It's the tea leaves reacting with oxygen. By stopping that process fast, green tea keeps its vibrant green color and that delicate, sometimes slightly grassy flavor.
Makes sense.
And its key players. Well, you've got epigallic catechin gallate, or EGCG. It's a bit of a mouthful.
EGCG.
Think of it like your body's personal cleanup crew. It's a really potent antioxidant. It doesn't just fight inflammation. It actively disarms those cellular free radicals.
The bad guys.
The bad guys, exactly. They cause internal wear and tear. It's basically giving your body an anti-aging boost with every sip.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real aha moment for many people. It's not just healthy. It's active cell protection.
Wow.
You also have other catechins. These are powerful antioxidants too, contributing to potential heart health support, maybe boosting the immune system. Plus these catechins, they can even aid in weight loss by sort of gently increasing fat oxidation.
So that minimal processing directly preserves those specific powerful antioxidants. Okay. That explains why green tea gets so much buzz. Makes total sense.
Sure.
But what about the other end of the spectrum, the opposite in processing?
Right. Good question. If green tea is all about gentle preservation, then black tea, well, that's the story of transformation. Full transformation through full oxidation.
Yeah.
So after the leaves are withered and rolled, they're allowed to fully react with oxygen. This extensive oxidation, it develops a much more robust, sometimes malty, sometimes fruity flavor. And of course, that characteristic dark color.
And more caffeine, usually.
Generally, yes. Mm. A higher caffeine content compared to green tea, typically. Now, black tea's signature dark color and that rich flavor, they come from theoflavins and theorubigins.
Okay, new names.
Yeah, these are powerful antioxidants too, but they only emerge during that full oxidation process. They're not really there in green tea. Think of them as, well, they create the rich flavors you taste, but they're also working behind the scenes, potentially acting like tiny scrubbers for your arteries, you know, helping maybe keep cholesterol levels in check, supporting overall heart health. You'll also find a good amount of other polyphenols in black tea, contributing to its antioxidant properties. Some research suggests they can help improve gut health and maybe even reduce blood pressure.
Fascinating. Okay, so green is preserved, black is transformed. What about the middle? I've heard of oolong tea. Is that like the compromise?
It really is.
Yeah.
Oolong is, it's fascinating because it's partially oxidized. The processing is more complex, kind of an intricate dance. Yeah, withering, bruising the leaves a bit, partial oxidation, and then firing to stop the process at just the right moment.
So it could be more like green or more like black.
Exactly. This careful balancing act creates an incredibly diverse range of flavors and aromas. It really depends on the specific level of oxidation the Tea Master aims for. Mm. So you can find oolongs that are light, floral, lean, greener, or others that are darker, roasted, more like a black tea. Vary. And component-wise, they have a mix. Similar to both green and black teas, often containing both catechins and some theophyllenes and theobromins, giving them this really complex, nuanced flavor profile.
Right. Okay, from complex to maybe simple. What about white tea? That always sounds so delicate.
It is, absolutely. White tea is really unique because its processing is super minimal,
yeah.
Like the least of all true teas.
Even less than green.
Yep. It's typically made from the youngest tea leaves and buds, often still covered in these fine silvery hairs. That's where the white comes from.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The process, it often involves just picking them and allowing them to dry naturally, maybe sun-dried, maybe dried indoors. Very gentle.
Just drying.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And this minimal interference helps preserve its natural compounds and that incredibly delicate, often slightly sweet, subtle flavor. Because of this, white tea retains really high levels of antioxidants, especially catechins, giving it strong antioxidant properties, and other polyphenols, which contribute to potential health benefits, like supporting skin health and maybe reducing inflammation. It's like purity in a cup, really.
Okay, so we've covered the true teas all from that one plant, Camellia sinensis. But what about all those other boxes, you know? Herbal tea. My grandmother swore by her chamomile tea at night. Is that really tea in the same way?
That's such a common point of confusion. And you're right to ask. Technically, no, they aren't true teas.
Okay.
The key difference, it lies entirely in the plant they come from. Herbal teas are not from the Camellia sinensis plant. Simple as that.
So what are they?
They're infusions, basically, made from various other herbs, flowers, fruits, or spices. And each one offers its own unique flavors and often potential health benefits.
Like chamomile.
Exactly. Chamomile is, you know, beloved for its calming properties.
Yeah.
And that's largely thanks to a compound called apigenin. Think of apigenin as like a gentle key fitting into specific lock receptors in your brain.
Telling it to chill out.
Pretty much. Signaling, okay, time to relax, time to sleep. Then you have something like peppermint tea.
Mm.
Wonderfully refreshing. Its active compound, menthol, has this soothing effect on the digestive system. That's why it's a real go-to for people with, you know, digestive discomfort, bloating.
Makes sense.
And another popular one, rooibos, or red bush tea from South Africa. It's naturally caffeine-free, which is a big plus for many. And it's rich in different antioxidants, like espalathan and nothofagin, which research suggests may help protect against free radical damage.
So even though they're not true teas from the tea plant, these herbal infusions offer this huge versatility, right?
Yes,
a whole
true.
Different range of flavors and target benefits. Another dimension to grabbing a hot drink.
Precisely. Loads of variety there.
Okay, now my ears are really perked up. We've broken down the types, the compounds. What does this all actually mean for our day-to-day health? This is where it gets really interesting, isn't it? Connecting the dots.
Absolutely. This is the payoff, right? Where we see the overarching benefits. First off, and this applies broadly, tea is truly an antioxidant powerhouse.
Right.
Regardless of the type, really, but especially green and white teas, they contain high levels of these antioxidants. They're constantly working to combat free radicals in your body. Remember the cleanup crews?
The cell bodyguards.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. They help protect cells from damage. And over time, that could potentially lower the risk of various chronic diseases.
Okay, that's big. What else?
Then there's significant heart health support. Regular tea consumption, especially green and black teas, has been linked in studies to cardiovascular well-being.
Oh, so?
Well, some research indicates that tea may help reduce LDL cholesterol levels. That's the bad cholesterol.
Right.
Promoting a healthier heart overall. Plus, the antioxidants in tea might support healthy blood vessel function, which could potentially contribute to lower blood pressure.
Interesting. Okay. What about, I hear a lot about green tea and weight.
Yes. Potential weight management aid. Green tea specifically has been studied quite a bit here. It seems the combination of catechins, especially EGCG, and a small amount of caffeine found naturally in green tea.
Mm.
It might gently enhance your metabolism and maybe encourage fat burning. And some studies even suggest green tea could help regulate appetite a bit. So it might be a subtle but potentially helpful aid in weight management efforts for some people.
Okay, so metabolism boost, appetite regulation, potentially?
Potentially, yes. Now, another really fascinating area is cognitive function and mental well-being.
Ah, brain health.
Exactly. And this is largely thanks to an amazing amino acid called L-theanine. It's found almost exclusively in tea, which is pretty cool.
L-theanine.
What does it do? What's remarkable is that it seems to have calming effects. It promotes relaxation, but without making you drowsy.
Oh, that's different from, say, chamomile.
Yeah, it's not a sedative effect. So while a caffeine in tea might give you a lift, the L-theanine can actually help, potentially, reduce feelings of stress and anxiety. It seems to enhance mental clarity and focus. It's like peaceful focus.
Peaceful focus. I like that.
Yeah. And just generally, regular tea consumption has been broadly associated with improved mood and overall cognitive function in some observational studies.
Wow. Okay. And digestion. You mentioned peppermint earlier.
Right. Digestive health support.
Mm-hmm.
Certain herbal teas are fantastic here, acting as sort of gentle, natural remedies. Peppermint tea, as we said, may help alleviate common symptoms of indigestion, like bloating or gas.
Okay.
And ginger tea, maybe brewed with fresh ginger root. That can stimulate digestion and often helps ease nausea. So it's great after meals or sometimes even for travel sickness.
Useful.
And beyond all these specific things, let's not forget the simple, profound power of just having a warm cup of tea. It's an incredibly flavorful way to stay hydrated.
Good point. Better than just plain water sometimes.
Exactly. And hydration, as we know, is just the bedrock of good health. Supports everything, from your skin to your brain function.
That is a really impressive list of benefits. Way more than just a nice taste. So, okay, we know what tea does. We know why it does it. How do we actually get the most out of it, practically speaking, in our daily lives?
Right. Let's get practical. Brewing tips are key. First, water temperature. It really matters. Green and white teas, they're delicate. Best brewed with water that's just below boiling. Think around 175 to 185 degrees Fahrenheit or 80 to 85 Celsius.
So don't just pour boiling water on them.
Generally, no.
Yeah.
Too hot, and you can scorch the leaves, make them taste bitter. Black teas, though, they're more robust. They can handle fully boiling water, 212 Fahrenheit or 100 Celsius.
Got it. And how long do you leave them in steeping time?
Good question. General guidelines. Steep green and white teas for maybe 2-3 minutes. Black teas a bit longer, maybe 3-5 minutes. And herbal teas often benefit from a longer steep, say 5-7 minutes. But, you know, adjust based on how strong you like the flavor.
Right. Personal preference.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And critically, try choosing quality tea. If you can, opt for high-quality loose-leaf teas or at least tea bags from reputable sources.
Does it really make that much difference?
I think so, yeah. Think of it like cooking, right? Better ingredients usually make a better final dish. Quality tea ensures you're getting the maximum flavor and, importantly, the maximum potential health benefits from your brew. There could be a real difference in the potency of the compounds.
Okay, quality matters. Good advice. And how can we make this a regular thing? You know, make it a joyful part of the day, not a chore.
Yeah, it's all about finding ways to just naturally weave it into your existing routine. Find your own rhythm.
Why?
Well, for a morning boost, maybe consider starting your day with a cup of green tea. Gentle caffeine lift, powerful antioxidant kick right away.
Instead of coffee, maybe?
Or alongside it. Or for an afternoon pick-me-up, if you'd hit that mid-afternoon slump but don't want coffee jitters later.
Yeah.
Enjoy a cup of black tea. Gives you a bit of energy. And then for evening relaxation, winding down with a soothing herbal tea, chamomile, peppermint, something like that, it can really signal to your body, okay, time to relax before bedtime.
Simple habits, really.
Exactly.
Wow, what a deep dive. It's so clear now, tea is just so much more than a simple beverage. It really is a natural source of these health-promoting antioxidants, flavonoids, all these beneficial compounds.
Mm.
And with all the variety, we talked about green, black, oolong, white, all the herbals there, truly is a tea out there for pretty much every palate and every preference, right?
It's true. And by simply, you know, incorporating tea into your daily routine, taking a moment to actually savor its flavors and appreciate its potential health benefits, you really can enhance your overall wellness. And just find a little moment of tranquility in what's often a busy day.
Yeah.
It's a very accessible form of self-care, I think.
It really is. So maybe as you sip your next cup, just consider how this one single plant, cherished for centuries, is still revealing new layers of wellness and tranquility. And maybe ask yourself, what other seemingly simple rituals in your life might be holding untapped benefits just waiting for you to discover?